Amen. But it is a place where God can appear. And this, at this place, here he is, he sacrificed. Imagine this. Wrap your mind around this. Jacob is scared to death because of all the bad things that he did before. He knew his brother was coming. This is where he met God. He said, all right, I know God, and I know where his house is, but now I need to know God. I don't need to just know where the church house is. I need to know God, because my brother's coming, and he is mad, and he's got a bunch of foot soldiers, and he's ready to slaughter me. And I am in trouble. So God, me and you, hallelujah, need to have a conversation. You and I need to get to busy and have some dialogue. And it is in the scripture, verse number 7, that said God appeared unto him. And when he fled from the face of his brother, God appears unto Jacob and gives him direction and gives him instruction and tells him what to do and how to do. And then, lo and behold, when him and his brother meet, it ain't near what he thought it was going to be. Why? Because God will intervene if you'll build an altar. I'm telling you today, you may be struggling with some personal relationships, even in your own family, but if you'll learn how to build an altar and lay it down on a sacrifice and trust God with the sacrifice, God can help you. God can fix your mess. An altar, yes, where God will fight your battles.
Yes, he will.
Exodus 17, Moses built an altar and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. With Jehovah Nissi means my banner. This was an altar that was built in the desert. And he said, and when it talks about a banner, they use banners, amen, to fly their flag as to who was in charge or who had dominion, if you will, who was the victor. And so this dialogue goes on between Moses and the Lord again. And the Lord swears unto Moses in verse 16 of chapter 17 of Exodus that God would make war with the Amalekites forevermore, from generation to generation. He was making Moses a promise and saying, hey, you're going to make me your banner? You're going to make me the one that's in control? I'll take care of your enemy from generation to generation. Oh man, I got excited when I thought about that, because I am a descendant through the engrafting, oh hallelujah, of this same promise, that I can believe God and that I can trust God, that he is my banner and that he will fight my battles from generation to generation. It will go on perpetually. God,
thank you, Jesus,
will fight my battle if I will build an altar. It's at an altar where you can find God again. Amen. Abraham did that. Jacob did that. I commend to others that did that. Micah 7 and 8 said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I, not if I fall, but when I fall. Hey, let me tell you, friend, you're going to fall from time to time in life. And the enemy may think that they've got you down for the count, but it's time for you to get back up and start building an altar. It's time for you to get back up. You will arise, and you're going to build another altar. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. It's at an altar that God can consume your sacrifice and the fire will fall. Oh yeah, it was Elijah that stood there before those 450 prophets of Baal. Amen, as they cut, as they did all kinds of crazy things and jumped on their altar for their God to answer by fire, and there was no fire. But when Elijah did, he made his altar and he set his sacrifice there. And then he poured buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets of water on it. And he stood back and he said, all right, God, show who's God.
Amen.
In my form. All right? And there's some times that we don't need to do that. And somebody needs to see Jesus in you. Somebody needs to see the power of the Holy Ghost in you. But you're not going to have somebody see the power of the Holy Ghost in you if you don't have an altar.
Right!
Say, okay, you beat it enough. No, I haven't.
Right.
Some of y'all ain't got it yet. There's so much power in an altar, friend. Oh man, that altar that you could experience with God happened in the upper room in a place called Jerusalem. Oh hallelujah. It was an altar for Jesus. It said, go ye and tarry ye and wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And they were there in one mind, in one accord, in one place. And a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit came. I'm going to tell you, you can experience God Almighty if you find yourself an altar.
Amen.
If you build yourself an altar. I know I haven't named all 378 places where there was altars built and what they were for and so on and so forth. I don't have time. Time would fail me to do so. But let me take you to one more place. And that is Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3. An altar is so important to God that He even put one in heaven. Revelation 8 and 3 said another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, where was given unto him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Oh, hallelujah. God likes altars so much that He has one in heaven where all of the prayers are being offered up as a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. The best thing about an altar is it's available all the time, anywhere that you want. But the best thing right now is that the altar is right here.
Right here.
Right now. And available. So here's a thought that I have mentioned a couple times recently while I've been preaching, and that is, throughout the Bible we see these places of altars, these places of dedication and commitment, these places of sacrifice, so on and so forth. But the only place that there isn't an altar is in hell.
Right.
The only place that there's no altar is in hell, because hell has no altars. Hell has no place to repent. Hell has no place to find God. Hell has no place to get a fresh start. Hell has no place to get things right. Hell has no place of mercy and grace. Hell has no place of healing and deliverance. Hell, the Bible said, is a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and where the fire is not quenched, where the fire doesn't go out, where the worm dieth not. There's no altar in hell, but God, in His most beautiful design, in His most glorious way, has shown the validity, the strength, the need, the power, whatever you want to say, throughout all the history of mankind, and He even thinks it's important in heaven.
Right.
So let me declare to you today, there's no hell, there's no altar in hell. But there's an altar today.
Come on.
There's an altar to find God today. There's an altar of repentance today. There's an altar to get it right today. There's an altar for direction. There's an altar for communication. We even have indication in our Bible. Bible in the rich man in hell. As he lifted up his eyes and he looks into Abraham's bosom and he says, talk to my brothers, tell them this and do this. And no, he said, there's a great gulf fixed. But, well, at least take a dip of water with your finger and dip it on my tongue because I'm in torment. No, there's no water in hell. There's no request in hell. There's no deliverance in hell. There will be a lot of prayer in hell. I said there will be a lot of prayer in hell, but with no answers. God intended that the altar be used now. For the scripture said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. The scripture also indicates, why halt ye between two opinions? What's the matter? Why is it so hard to make a decision? Altar or no altar? Altar or no altar? No altar is no place for me. I want an altar. I want to embrace the altar. I want to bring a sacrifice. I want to bring everything to the altar. While I have an opportunity, while I have a chance, while God has given me the space to repent, while God has given me a place of forgiveness, while God has given me a place of healing and deliverance, I want to get a hold. Another place, as the scripture said, get a hold of the horns of the altar. Today, let's find an altar. Today, let's find an altar of grace and mercy. Let's find an altar. You say, Pastor, you're belaboring the point. Not enough, because there's nobody here at the altar.
Amen.
Not enough, because there's nobody going to an altar to say, I need some direction. Me and God got to communicate. Not enough to say, no. You've got some needs in your life. You've got some emotional distresses. You've got some heartaches and some pains that you've tried to medicate, that you've tried to drink out of your life, that you've tried to do all kinds of things through counseling and through therapists. But I'm going to tell you today what you need. You don't need another doctor. You don't need another lawyer. You don't need another therapist. You don't need another drug. You don't need anything but an altar. That's what you need today. You can find healing at an altar. You can find deliverance at an altar. You can find everything you need. Oh, I pray that I haven't preached in vain. I pray that I haven't preached in vain today. I pray that I haven't preached in vain to somebody that you're hurting. You're miserable in your mind. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You're struggling with day-to-day life. Life has thrown you so many curveballs. Life has made you so upset and so miserable. But I'm telling you today, there's an altar. There's an altar. There's an altar for you. There's a place of forgiveness. There's a place of healing. You've got sickness in your body today. Come on, lay it down. Lay it down on the altar. Come on, whatever it is. Whatever it is, call it out to the Lord. And lay it down on that altar today. Will you do that? Will you do that? Can you do that? Can you lay it down? Can you put it on the altar? Can you put it on the altar? Here I am, Lord. I'm laying some things down on the altar that I've been struggling with, that I've been dealing with, that I don't know, have no answers to. I need your help today, dear Jesus. Come on, build an altar today. Build an altar today.